Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Maruchan superfans are everywhere. From the busy moms who want to deliver maximum flavor in a flash to dorm room diners who want to put some slurp in their step. There are a ton of copycats you could use, but if you want to bless your bowl, there's only one true Maruchan. Whether you choose instant lunch, ramen bowls, yakisoba, or restaurant quality gold, Maruchan is the only ramen worth obsessing over. Smiles for all. Maruchan. See what all the ramen hype is about at Maruchan.com.
Hey, hey, you guys, you are listening to the O'Crop Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, and I am the author of O'Crop Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today I kind of want to sound the alarm. It is July 24th, and I've been kind of consistently giving this warning about upcoming school situations in which your child may have to be potty trained. So that would be preschool and most certainly kindergarten. So there is a reason that around 3 years old, when your child enters preschool, there is a reason that they want your child fully potty trained. It's developmentally appropriate. And there are stages of play. You may have heard parallel play, right? When your child is young, they are in parallel play. They will sit next to another child, right? Maybe they'll share, but they're not doing cooperative play. They usually won't build something together. It's like they're in their own little world and they're playing side by side. And that's called parallel play. And that is developmentally where they're at. It's not good or bad. It's just what it is. When they enter preschool, you move on to another stage called cooperative play. And cooperative play ties into dramatic play, which is like a subdivision. And this is where your child will work with another child, right? And they'll have communication. It's a social thing. And most preschools are designed so that they have like centers. There's dramatic play, there's physical, I forget them all, but there's art, you know, and there's these centers where the children go to and gravitate towards depending on the preschool. It can be free for all, or it can be very structured. It is important when you're in parallel play, if you think about this, like if you and I are in our own little world and we're not paying attention to anyone around us, it may be appropriate to, you know, poop and pee in your pants or your diaper or whatever, right? When you go on to cooperative play, you are moving on developmentally to being aware of other people. Once you are aware of other people, now the socialized behavior of putting your pee and poop somewhere else becomes more important. Right? And if you think about it, it makes sense, even though we're sort of pulling hairs apart. Because if you and I are sitting down having a conversation and I just let my pee and poop go, I would be embarrassed and you might be embarrassed because we have socialized behavior of using a toilet, right? If I'm two and you and I are in the same room, but not really paying attention to each other, well, then yes, maybe nobody would even notice, right? So this is why, and preschool teachers tend to have, typically the director has a doctorate, at least master's. Preschool is a different type of learning. It is not daycare. It is not just taking care of your child. It is a portion of education. Even though I think we shouldn't be rushing early academics, these teachers are in charge of, they're doing a different thing with your child, separate from daycare. For them to be bogged down with changing diapers and or helping potty train your child, they want to do other things with your kids, right? That is more appropriate for daycare. So if your preschool is demanding potty training, it's not because they're just being grumpy. It's because it's another developmental milestone that's coming up, a different type of education. So don't be mad at them. And I do know a lot of teachers, a lot of preschools, since I started doing this work, almost every preschool, the minute your kid turned three and they were in preschool, they had to be potty trained. And more preschools are letting kids not be potty trained. But we as parents should be partnering with our preschools to not make it harder on them, to not delay this milestone so that your child can appropriately move to the next milestone. What's happening right now, because I work with the OCRAP certified consultants, I see it in my own work, I see it on social media, people are not attending to potty training and their child has to be fully potty trained for going back to preschool and or kindergarten. And I cannot believe this year, more than any other year, I'm hearing from more and more six-year-olds who cannot go to kindergarten because they're not potty trained. I know I've said it before on this podcast and I say it all the time on Instagram. This is crazy, you guys. A six-year-old is beyond potty training. And even if we're talking neurodivergent and, you know, medical disabilities have a whole different, you know, there's certain disabilities where a child can't move, they can't ambulate themselves. But even with neurodivergence, that is still too old. That is still too old. These kids are more than capable. And what I find really happening, I talk a lot about this on my other podcast. The whole gentle parenting has gotten misconstrued. The whole child-led has gotten misconstrued. We don't ask permission to parent our children. We parent them, and potty training is part of parenting. So to wait and wait and wait till your child says, okay, now I'm ready, that's cool up until about three. After that, you're in trouble. You are in trouble if your child is six and cannot go to kindergarten. I'm not mom shaming. I'm not trying to guilt anybody, but that is, we've gone into a crazy zone right now. And I have never, ever heard from so many parents of six-year-olds who are now freaking out because you've got a six-year habit. We're now at the end of July. I don't know when you go back to school. Here in the Northeast, they go back to school early September. I know in the South, they start in August because of, you know, heat and all of that. But you have to give your child ample time to learn this. So if your child needs to be fully potty trained, whatever the situation is, you cannot back yourself into a corner and give yourself a week. That isn't enough time. That isn't enough time for your child to go from where they're from nothing to fully potty trained. Even in the best of scenarios, that is sketchy, right? And there's going to be bumps in the road. But if you are in a situation where you have a four, a five, a six-year-old, that is out of the range of normal, right? And so if your child hasn't potty trained themselves by now or has resisted your potty training efforts up until now, you are going to need more than a week. And chances are you are going to need a consultation. And this is breaking my heart because, you know, I have these regular meetings with the OCRAP consultants. So I'm aware of not only my own work, but other people's potty training work. And everybody is like so disheartened because parents are contacting us and saying, you know, my child's been withholding poop for 2 years and they have to be fully potty trained next week. I cannot help you. I can do my very best, but I can almost guarantee that your child will not be potty trained in a week. I can almost guarantee that the biggest rock star in potty training who like catches on in a couple of days and it's looking great, they're still going to hit bumps in the road when they go back to a new setting. So you really want to build in a lot of time so that your child can not only learn this skill at home. And I want to repeat, this is a skill best learned at home. We are dealing with genitals. We are dealing with a private function. We are dealing with any new skill is best learned at home with mom, dad, parents, grandparents, whoever is in charge of the child, who loves this child, who is invested in this child. This skill is best learned at home. And then we start to take it out into this other realms. Now, parents will call me sometimes and get mad. They'll be upset because, you know, they took some time off of work and their child really struggled and they are like, okay, what do we do now? And I said, okay, my very first approach is like, we need a couple of days to work on this at home. And again, there's a new trend that is heartbreaking to me that this is where we are as a society where parents can no longer get time off. They're like, nope, I don't have any time off available. I can't do this until Christmas break. So this falls into one of these I call impossible situations. And sometimes I get contacted with impossible situations, which is I have no time off. I have to do this in 2 days and that's it. So what can I do? I cannot change that situation. All I can tell you is that I know we need as much time at home as possible, I can't change your schedule. And I don't have any magic. I do not have any tricks that will speed this process along any more than I have tricks to speed your child's walking, to speed other developmental milestones. There are no hacks for this, okay? So I just want to put this out in the world because it's happening so frequently right now. And it's kind of, people are looking at me like, well, this is your job. You need to fix this. I can't compress this milestone. So please, please, please be sure to allow yourself enough time so that your child can not only learn this at home, but you can build in, hey, are there struggles? If you are in a situation where you are under pressure, say your child really does need to go back to school in a week, potentially this could be fixed if you can clear your schedule. And again, I'm finding parents saying, nope, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. And at that point, I say, okay, well, maybe we just need to re-diaper until Christmas. The only reason I'm saying all of this is like, I don't want to scare people, but it's just so disheartening because this puts so much pressure on the child. And this little kid, it's not their fault. And I know like a lot of parents have paid for potty training. I mean, not potty training, for preschool. They've registered maybe even 2 years ago, or, you know, you've gotten into a charter kindergarten and it's all great. And so do yourself a huge favor and just allow for enough time. And if you, again, are like super pressed for time, hire a consultant, first of all. Like the minute you can, you know, I really feel for parents. Like, let's give an example. I was working with a family who, you know, took some time off. They gave themselves a week. But by the end of the week, they had realized like their child was showing struggles right from the get-go, but they wanted to give it some more time to shake out, which, yeah, totally. That is awesome in most scenarios. However, this particular family had no extra time. Once that week was up, then they had no time off until, I think, Thanksgiving. If this is your situation, what you want to do is, if your child is not almost immediately picking it up, which some kids do, right? And that's why like I say, hey, take a week off. That's awesome. If you get into that week and your child is showing some sort of struggle, withholding poop, constipation, fear of release in the potty, and you've gone 2 days, immediately hire a consultant, because that can help speed up the process, but you have to catch it early on. I understand and support the impetus to say, well, let's see how this shakes out, but then you screw yourself. You get to Sunday and you're like, oh no, we need help with this. Now she's got to go back to school. Now we're kind of screwed. So it's like a tricky thing, right? Because I always say, hey, take a week off, and that's enough time. But if you don't have extra time, you want to get help early on. Does that make sense? The other thing about this situation, and I have again talked about this sort of emotionality before on this podcast, which is, it does you no good to go into despair. It does you no good to get angry at the schedule or get angry at me because your child struggled. You guys, I get death threats. I'm a potty trainer and I get death threats because people are like, you told me that this would take this. And I cannot guarantee how your child reacts to this milestone. I cannot tell you what's going to happen the minute you take off that diaper. I really can't. And some children who are easygoing, catch on to things, milestones have been easy, turn out to have massive struggles in potty training. I have kids who have been nightmares for milestones. They had colic, like they've just been difficult kids the whole time. The parents are like anticipating struggles and more struggles with potty training, and those kids are effortless. You cannot predict. You cannot assume. So don't despair. Don't get mad. What you want to do is you want to try to pinpoint the problem. You want to pinpoint the pattern and see if you can whittle it down, right? So I've said this before. It often looks like it's a disaster. You're like, oh my God, there's pee everywhere. But almost always it comes down to one particular thing. Is it fear of the release? Is there constipation? Is this poop withholding? But what I find is parents go right off the cliff. And again, this is sort of a new trend in parenting, which is we put everything into our identity as a parent. Like, oh my God, my kid's failing at this. I'm a terrible parent. I get like this really crazy hyperbolic reaction. And it's not about that. It's like, okay, really problem solve, step out of the emotionality and just, okay, what's really going on here? What's really happening? And see if you can whittle it down, because it almost always comes down to a singular problem that then can be solved. If you are going back to preschool, back to daycare, I highly suggest we have the daycare blueprint, which is the best way to set yourself up for success, but also how to troubleshoot. There are so many things that can go wrong at daycare. So you want to just be aware so you can start to troubleshoot beforehand. The people who have the best success aren't crazy, but they do listen to this podcast. They read the whole book. They look at my YouTube. They may even say, like, you know what? My kid's not been a great pooper. I'm going to get the pooping solutions course early on. They get prepared not to be overwhelmed, but to, like, in the moment they go, I know Jamie talked about this on her podcast. Let me go look, because I know this information's here somewhere. So you had this, like, broad sense. Again, I want this to go well, and it goes well for so many kids, but we can't always assume that. So you want to prepare for what if the shit goes sideways, right? Literally and figuratively. Okay, now on that note, let's move on a little bit. So what I'm seeing a lot right now as well is kids are going back to preschool. They are going back to daycare, and it's just kind of shady, you know, and they're not doing well there. And so they have to be re-diapered. That happens. And it's okay. And you can continue potty training at home. So if your child is under 24 months, if you're in a daycare situation and your child is under 24 months, I don't recommend potty training till a little bit later, because you're not going to get support. Typically, our societal norms have moved to, you know, quote unquote, ready to potty train is 3. So you won't get much support. So under 24 months to expect fully potty trained to handle full-time daycare, it's not realistic. If you want to do it, go for it. I do hear from people all the time, my 22-month-old is doing great at daycare, blah, 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 blah. And of course, this largely depends on how much support and help you get at daycare or preschool. But you have to remember the ratio of kids. Your kid is not going to get one-on-one. Your kid's not going to get near one-on-one potty training attention. If you are potty training and your daycare or preschool, they literally do the work. I interviewed Alexandra for this podcast. There are daycares that fully support you and they take all the kids. There's a herd mentality. Awesome. But if you're not getting the support and your child's especially pooping, but having constant accidents, they may have to, you know, they may ask you to re-diaper and you have to. They won't take your kid. A lot of kids will get kicked out, or it might be a soft request. It may not be like a demand, in which case I would say definitely re-diaper, because if your daycare or preschool provider is constantly attending to your child in accidents, it's going to affect their care of your child. They're only human. They're going to get frazzled. They're going to get aggravated, and it will play out energetically with your child. I just know this, and I can't fault anybody because it's just human nature. But if that happens, you have a couple of options, right? You can continue at home. If your child is under 20, I would even say 24, 26 months, you can continue at home or just reset. Just do a reset. And then the next chunk of time you have off, whenever that is, if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, you can look ahead. What you want to do is you want to say, how old is my child now? And when is my next chunk of time available? And if that puts your child beyond the range of 3, even 3, 3.5, you definitely want to continue potty training at home. If your child is, depending on their age, right? If you do a reset and your next time off is Thanksgiving, that's fine. That's fine. They're well within the time range and you can pick it up again. Why struggle? If your child is over 3 and they have to be re-diapered for preschool or daycare, you have to keep potty training at home. And I would say you have to carve out some time to get this done, because that child is going to continually struggle. That is not a question of not ready. There is no 3-year-old, there is no neurotypical 3-year-old that I know that is not just behavior, or it's just strong-willed and they will break your will. They're more than capable, more than ready. So that is not an issue of not ready. And the longer you postpone it, the harder it's going to get. Diaper wearing is a habit. It is a habit we taught them, right? We literally put this thing on and we were like, yes, let's do this. This is why a lot of people do elimination communication, so they never teach their child how to use a diaper. Now, I understand why we teach a child to use a diaper, but we have to own them to the fact that, like, hey, we put this thing on them, so now we're responsible for taking this thing off of them, right? So you have to attend to this, though, guys, because again, if your three-year-old plus is struggling at school, it has to be re-diapered, and then is still struggling at home, you need a chunk of time and you need a consultation. I have never seen this just resolve on its own. I really haven't, especially in a school setting. I have heard of it like when people are just at home. I have heard of some people who, like, after 2 years in a pull-up, the kid may start to go. However, you're now in the four-year-old range and you will almost assuredly get kicked out of whatever daycare or preschool you're in at 4 years old. So it used to be, I just want to give you a cultural reference because, again, this is heartbreaking to me, but also, again, I'm kind of sounding an alarm. I never in my work, I've been doing this now almost 15 years, I never spoke of 3.5, 4, 5, 6-year-olds and potty training. That was never in my realm. It was always 18 months to maybe 36 months, maybe. So that's where we're headed. These are trends. So be cautious. I don't think these are healthy trends. I think developmentally, a child is meant to have the autonomy of controlling their own bodily fluids so they can move on to the next developmental step. A child who is beginning to read should not be sitting in their own excrement. Granted, there are prodigies who read at that 2.5, but your average kid, that's not cool, you guys. It's not respectful of the child. And we want things in order so the child can move on. I have a 17-year-old now, and I can attest to when things are done in sort of a generalized developmental order, it's really easy and it's beautiful. You don't want to go back. It'd be like not letting your child read because they never picked up a book and started to read. And so you're like, no, that's fine, that's fine. Even if your child reads later on, later than other kids, you would still be attending to reading, right? You wouldn't just be like, yeah, let's, no, we're not going to read at all. They're not ready. Certainly a child may not be ready to read, but you don't just abandon it. You know what I mean? And that would set the child back if they were like in third grade and could do all these other things and then they couldn't read. That would set them back. And so all these developmental milestones are roughly around the same age so that they can move on to the next thing. So again, I just have never talked about these ages. And so it's making me nervous because I'm like, what the heck is going on here that, you know, these poor kids are 6 years old and can't get into kindergarten because they're not potty trained. Like, I just never dealt with 6-year-olds. Again, you know, neurotypical and typical developmentally. So anyway, allow your child the time. Always just allow them the time. And then think about it when you need help. I would definitely say, like, the number one thing is clear your schedule as much as you can, catch it early, and get help. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, I super appreciate you listening. And yeah, don't forget all our courses, the pooping solutions. Of course, if your child is constipated, pooping in their pants. Pooping is a really funny thing because just because a child's pooping doesn't mean they don't have pooping issues, right? So if poop is not landing in the potty, you probably have a pooping issue. So my pooping solutions course can help. We have the daycare blueprint, which is very timely right now. And I have my night training supplement. If you're struggling with night training, that can be helpful as well. So, all right, guys, as always, rock on.